Hi guys, we hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots,
where we recap these shows and review them, and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. Today we are covering LEGO DC Shazam, Magic and Monsters.
It's a fun title.
Yep. That's going to be fun to type into the when I'm putting the episode title up, because it's got two colons and an exclamation point.
Oh, well, it's nothing. What of it?
This is the 10th and final LEGO DC Comics film.
Shame.
And yeah, it's. I have to be honest, when I started this podcast, the LEGO series being the most consistent was not on my bingo card. So, this film follows directly on from LEGO DC Batman Family Matters.
Yep.
And it starts with something that we do not see often enough, which is a genuinely nice superhero.
I mean, we do, I feel, but just not always in these films for very long.
I mean, literally, the only other superhero at the moment who I actually go, no, I actually think that this is a completely nice human being is Steve Rogers.
Flash doesn't seem horrible, particularly. I don't know. I mean, I don't think any of them seem horrible, other than Batman. Superman always seems nice. What are you talking about?
I mean, in this film universe, I suppose, but it.
Well,
so it's stuff like.
He
basically.
Superman being horrible.
He's. So, anyway, so. Shazam literally talks down Carmine Falcone and Penguin.
Yeah, who I did quite like seeing, so.
It's. The villains that show up in this, there are quite a few villains that I don't think have appeared elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, that's the nice thing about the LEGO ones, is you just get different characters than you would.
Yeah. So, he also saves a dog out of a tree, and it's then that it's revealed afterwards that it is, that Billy Batson is Shazam.
Da, da, da.
And because he was too busy being a superhero, he wasn't there to get adopted.
Shame.
I mean, to be fair, he was hanging out with Batman in the last film. It's a shock he wasn't.
Well, if Batman had known.
Oh, if Batman had known, absolutely. So, meanwhile, Clark Kent is being sent off to do an article on the farmer's market while everyone else at the Daily Planet is to find out who Shazam is.
Because, you know, that's the kind of thing they run at the Daily Planet, the farmer's market.
I mean, if it's the first farmer market they've ever had, maybe.
Maybe.
So, thankfully, this means that Superman is there when various monsters attack the market looking for food for their master.
Yes.
So, the. Meanwhile, we get another reference to, oh, they're trying to just sell alternative versions of Brawler Eye to Bruce Wayne.
Which seems strange, but.
Yeah. And he goes, oh no, oh, wait, I have a travel alert, I need to go. As well as The Flash, Jessica Cruz, Green Lantern, and Wonder Woman.
Yes, nice little team.
Also, I do like... So, in this film, they've made a slight change to the art style to incorporate reflective gold.
Yeah, it's, you can just about tell.
Which... And also, I don't know... The film just looks a bit more polished.
Yeah, everything, it does seem quite slick.
Which, considering they had to be aware this is probably the last movie we're making.
Mm.
I don't know if that's a deliberate effort or if that's just a...
Might just be lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've got two heroes who gold is a huge part of the costume, so we might as well get it right. Mm. So, Shazam appears and helps the Justice League save the day.
Yep.
They're
all very impressed.
And the only person who's not impressed is Batman, who...
Well, to be fair, he's not really ever impressed with anything.
Yeah, but you'd think he would click very... I mean, even just the idea of, oh, wait, this is a kid. Oh, wait, this is a kid. I can make him a Robin. but also, one thing that Batman does do is he places a tracker on one of the villains as they escape. Also, Batman is able to click exactly what Shazam's powers are, but the power of Zeus doesn't. The power of Zeus is not being demonstrated yet.
Well, I mean, it would be a hard one to guess, I guess. Yeah. Maybe? I mean, not that hard. He's, like, famous for being the god of thunder.
Also,
but, you know.
Also, there's only really one addition to the voice cast, two, I suppose, which is Zach Callison voicing Billy Batson and Sean Astin voicing Shazam. And anything that gives Sean Astin employment is good in my book.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with him. Is good.
Yeah. So Shazam gets invited to the Hall of Justice, and within like 10 minutes everyone but Batman's revealing their identity to Shazam.
Well, it's because they're showing that they're like, that's how the Justice League treat each other, you know?
Yeah. And I love, because I think it's the second or third time that I've seen the gag Flash unmasks and no one knows who he actually is.
Yeah, no, but it was quite funny. I did kind of giggle.
So when they ask Shazam to reveal his identity, he runs away. Meanwhile, also at that point, I also have a note here. Even in the universe, they know that Batman has an exemption.
Yeah.
Because Batman's the only one who's allowed not to show who he is. Though, you'd think that with the multiple highly intelligent people in the room, at least one of them could have figured it out by now.
It's probably the point that they could if they wanted to, but they honour his wishes not to. So...
Meanwhile, we find out who the main villains are of the film. Mr. Mind is the character who
A Lego worm
who also appeared in both Shazam films and post-credit scenes in memory serves.
I hear, but I didn't see the second Shazam film. So
you weren't really missing out on much.
I'm not a big Zach Levy fan, and I liked the first one well enough. I just thought there was this big mismatch, and I'll watch the second one when it's on streaming, but I didn't feel like I had to be there.
Yep. And so Mr. Mind has recruited these villains and also recruited what's he called? Dr. Sylvana.
Yeah, sorry, I thought he was one of the ones you were talking about. Yeah, Dr. Sylvana.
And someone is... No, I think this is implied purely to be in his head, but someone is compelling Mr. Mind to eat copious amounts of food.
Yes, there's some very strange... And this is the point where I kind of lost it a bit. I was like, oh, it's a bit silly. I think Mr. Mime's silly. I know people love him. It's all silly. But, you know.
I mean, it's he's a perfect Lego villain, to be fair.
I mean, he's pretty good comic villain. It's just, I felt like I wanted to know. I felt the film didn't really tell me who he was except a talking worm.
Yeah. So.
Maybe that's all I need to know.
So we then get Shazam talking to the wizard at the Rock of Eternity. And.
But he's shady. Always shady.
Yeah. And we also get basically the, oh, you're not the first Shazam. The first Shazam became Black Adam.
Yeah, Teth Adam.
Teth Adam, yes. And because we are not trying to keep the Rock's ego satisfied, he is a straight villain here.
Yes.
We also find out that the Justice League have walked directly into a trap so that they can be gassed by Dr. Sylvana to turn them back into children.
Which is very funny.
Because it then means that Mr. Mind can take over their minds.
That's the name. That's how he got his name. No, I don't know how he got his name, but yeah. But a traditional comic, we'll just name them after what they do.
Absolutely. So, the only one they do not catch is Batman, because Batman immediately GTFOs.
Yeah.
So, Batman is then being chased by the Monster Squad, which I think is the villain team name.
I quite like them. They're very funny.
And Shazam saves Batman and is convinced that it's a cosplayer. And so Batman explains what happened.
Yes. And then he's like, yes, but I stayed me because I'm me.
Yes. So Shazam has to then drive the Batmobile because Batman's Batmobile does not have adjustable seats. Pretty much.
It's very cute, that. And you wonder how, because he deals with a lot of young children, so you would have thought.
You'd have thought there'd have been like a Damien function.
Yes, that somebody would have built in a seat, you know.
So, the mini Justice League meanwhile raid a supermarket, and then Shazam and Batman arrive in the Batcave, and Shazam and Batman reveal each other's identities to each other. We get Billy Batson's backstory, which is effectively Billy Batson was so nice multiple times to the wizard pretending to be people that he decided to make him become Shazam.
Yes.
And Billy also goes, and I'm sure you don't know what it like feels like to be an orphan to Batman.
Which is hilarious. I mean, like, it's objectively funny to say it, and funnier when he says it's to Superman. If yeah. He says it's, you know, like, there are so many orphans. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, also, we get a gag where, so Batman asks Alfred for milk and cookies, and Alfred assumes he's Damien.
Which is just very weird, right? But funny.
You also think at some point, if Batman just went, oh, I've been turned into a child by a gas, Alfred would just go, why? Look, yeah, wouldn't, I mean, react like, slightly.
You would think this wouldn't be the first time.
Mm-hmm. Also, at this point, we go, oh yeah, that's right, Damian Wayne exists in this universe and is nowhere to be seen.
I still find this one of the most confusing things about them all, is just like, which Robin is which at any point in the animated universe and where Damian fits all in. But, yes. But aside from that, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, Batman and Shazam are able to... So Batman creates a device that can break the mind control. And the way they do that is by overloading the mind of the person they're trying to get enough that they can get in close and detonate the device.
Theoretically possible. Mm-hmm. Right? It's what they're all about. Theoretical.
So Shazam's able to get Jessica Cruz and the Flash turned, and Batman gets Wonder Woman and Superman turned. And at this point, I think Batman actually breaks the fourth wall as well.
I mean, it felt like it.
Because he looks directly at the camera when he realizes, oh yeah, I just knocked out Superman whilst he's in the air holding me up. So, the Justice League then decide to try and infiltrate the enemy base by pretending to be under mind control still, but with two prisoners.
The old tricks.
Except it doesn't work because they're not interested in prisoners. So a fight breaks out. At this point, Dr. Sylvana goes, no, we know we're being mind controlled and we hate it, by all means. And we find Mr. Mind is in a cocoon and is now a giant
moth? I love that he's like, I hope that does always happen with him, because that was pretty fab. The whole cocoon. I'm going to be the giant evil moth thing.
I mean, I didn't know that I was getting my second kaiju DC film. And this is as close as we're going to get to Mothra in the DC universe.
Yeah.
Well, probably more Batra, the fact they're evil, but meh. So we then have the Justice League runs for the Rock of Eternity. Mr. Mind follows them. And the voice in Mr. Mind's head tells him to eat the Rock of Eternity.
Eat the Rock of Eternity.
Which weakens the defenses enough for Black Adam to break out.
Which is what we... You see, and this is like one of my problems with the film. Like, it's just that I enjoyed it because I enjoy all the Lego ones to a certain extent. But like, very fussy. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of characters and a lot of like... So you get to this bit and then you get to the next bit. And then you get to the next bit and it's like, oh, and here's Black Adam. I mean, it makes sense to have Black Adam there. But it's just like, I don't really know why we needed the Mr. Mime stuff beforehand. I mean, it's fun and you get in more characters, so I don't really know fully how I feel about it, but it just felt like there was a lot.
And also, Black Adam apparently now has the ability to project voices into people's heads, which he then proceeds to not use once he's used Mr. Mind.
Yes.
So they kind of give a hand wave explanation. But this was all Black Adam's plan. And because the Justice League are kids, they can't beat him in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
So the wizard sacrifices himself so the Justice League can get out. And this then leads to a... We need to build vehicles that adjust to our new size montage.
Yes.
So we've now got... So Black Adam goes to the UN? Some place where there is lots of world leaders. Demands that everyone submits to him. The Justice League attack. At first, they start to be effective, but Black Adam once again is able to defeat them.
Mm-hmm.
At which point, Billy then figures out the power of Zeus is to give everyone else Shazam powers.
Which is, I mean, yeah, I don't know if that's true or not, but it feels weird.
I mean,
like, Zeus should be lightning, I'm sorry, or one, changing into swans and impregnating women. I mean, you know, it seems to be Zeus's, what he
really
does most
do
of the time.
In a Lego film, to be fair. So, Billy also reveals he's a kid to the Justice League. I wonder if this is almost like a... Because I'm assuming this film came out either to capitalize on or as...
I mean, kind... it has to, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, because I think it came out around the same time-wise. When did the first Shazam movie come out? 2019, so it was about a year later.
Yeah, I guess keeps it in the consciousness,
yeah. So, the Shazam League is able to defeat Black Adam. Meanwhile, we find out that kid who bullied Billy has ended up at some really quite conscious parents, but but from a kid's perspective, terrible parents.
Yes, I mean, they're not great.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know, it's more kind of done as a, see, that they get...
Yes, he's all sorted.
Yeah. So, Black Adam's defeated, the Justice League wins, Shazam retakes his powers, Black Adam is depowered, but this doesn't mean that he ends up... Because I can't remember where it is, but I'm sure that there is a thing where Shazam's still age, so he should just break down into dust at this point.
Yes, he should.
Batman is then able to... instead of Batman going, "Don't worry, Billy, I've got a job for you," Bruce Wayne is adopting you.
Yeah. No, he's not going to do that.
No, we wouldn't do that. He's got enough, kid.
He's got Robin right now, but you know, if he ever gets rid of one.
But your Uncle Dudley is still alive, which no one noticed.
Yeah, magically. Yeah, I when that came out, I was like, have they mentioned his uncle before? Are we supposed to know this?
And also his sister.
Hooray. Who's called Mary? Like, I don't know what in the comics if they're, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, so we get to see his sister and his uncle, and Billy has a home, and there's all tied into this whole like, oh no, we can't have a kid in the Justice League. It's like, oh yes, we can.
Yep, and we get a post-credits Lobo scene.
Of course.
Where Mr. Mind lands in his lap and is worth a lot of money as a bounty.
Way too excited about that.
I mean, it's literally just, hey Lobo, do you want... Now, is that $1 billion or $1 trillion? I don't know. The bounty is something obscene.
Yeah. It's just quite funny.
Yeah, that was Lego DC Shazam, and I have to be honest, I think it's probably in a series that's really consistent. I actually think that might be one of the best ones.
It is pretty fun. I just think it's really overloaded.
Yeah.
But each segment kind of works really well, and it bookends well. So, yeah.
So... yeah, so that was, as I said, that's the last of the Lego DC films, which, as I said at the start, I am surprised how consistent they were.
Yeah, I mean, they're all good fun.
I mean, obviously designed to sell Lego sets.
And I've no idea if they did, but, like, I enjoyed them all, so.
Yeah. So, the next movie is a complete and utter tonal whiplash.
Oh, it's a serious one, then, is what you're saying.
It's the darkest of the lot. It is DC Justice League Dark Apocalypse War.
Oh, right.
Which, yeah. I've watched tons of clips of the movie, and a lot of clips of the movie seem to be, you know, that character we featured in a film.
Dead.
Here is them dying, not saying a word, and this is like the only 10 seconds in the film they're gonna be here.
Okay, I was joking about the dying. That's quite funny.
Yeah, no, it is literally this is the last film in the series, so we're just going to kill everyone.
Unbelievable.
So the next thing we're doing isn't technically a film, but the other sets of shorts get
released
from two DVD sets.
Yeah.
So this is me going, well, we'll count this as another set. Mm-hmm. Why not? Then Superman Man of Tomorrow, which is a reboot. Deathstroke Knights and Dragons. And then, in theory, this is when we do Batman Death in the Family, though I have no idea how we're actually going to do that as an episode.
Yeah.
Because it is literally a movie that goes, yeah, which one do you want? Do you want a young man to be killed, horrifically scarred, or saved by a sacrificing Batman?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure we'll find something.
Yeah.
We'll find some way of doing it, though.
Yep. So that's
the one thing I am sure of, that we'll find something.
So that's the next 5 episodes we've got coming up. Have you appeared in any of our podcasts recently?
No, I've been too sick. I only came to speak to you when I'm sick.
I know, I'm sorry about that.
No, it's fine, it's just, no, I've not done anything else. Probably a new Moon Knight one coming up at some point, but nothing.
Okay.
Nothing that is in the bag. How about you, robots?
Yep, still doing, still doing Robot Wars Series 5. We are reaching the end of it, and we have got everything recorded. So... we are getting on to BattleBots.
Nice.
It's going really well, actually. There is a good chance we're going to have our busiest month ever.
Oh, cool.
Just out of nowhere. So, yep, that's what Rise of the Robots is doing this week. We'll be back in a fortnight's time with Seamless Cut is Seamless. And hopefully with a guest, we'll need to figure that out, as we discuss Justice League Dark Apocalypse War.
Excellent. Good week, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch. At dcaupodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.